Very good. So John chapter 2, 13, 25. So we'll read the word of God today. So we read a similar passage, but that was not exactly the same event for the Palm Sunday. It's kind of not a very common passage to read on Resurrection Sunday, although some people do, because exactly don't talk about the resurrection happening in the same time, but it's talking about more a prediction, a prophetic voice about Jesus Christ's resurrection. So, but that's a very interesting passage, a very overlooked passage many times. So we'll read today John chapter 2, verse 13 to 25. Okay, the Bible said, the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, take this thing away, do not make my father's house a house of trade. His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. So the Jews said to him, what sign do you show us for doing these things? Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews then said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not trust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about men, for he himself knew what was in men. This is the word of God. We'll focus today specifically in verse 19 and 20. 19 and 21, excuse me. When the Bible said Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, excuse me, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews then said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple and will just raise it up in 3 days. But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word read today. And we want you help us to understand better the doctrine of resurrection today. Father, we came here as a group of people from different paths, different places. We were born in different places, and you have gathered us as one body this morning. But we recognize, Father, that we came from different learnings as well. We have learned about the life of Jesus and the resurrection, and we are different levels of learning. However, we understand that we all of us are like children before you, and we all need you open our eyes so we can see you and understand the meaning of resurrection in this passage. We ask humbly by the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, I want to encourage you to keep reading the Bible and learning from the Bible. As we are preaching and learning about the book of Joshua, it's an amazing journey to learn from the Bible. As encouragement, I want to tell you that even the disciples of Jesus Christ, as you see in this passage here in the Bible, they didn't understand at the first time If you are here and you know, you believe that you understand a lot about Jesus, so you are in the wrong place. Because the church actually is a place where you are coming to learn about Jesus Christ. So as the disciples, for them was a process of learning. It's a process for learning for us as well. The Bible is very clear here in the 17, they said, entonces, excuse me, his disciples remember that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. They know about that. But later on, the Bible said that they didn't understand, they didn't understood, they didn't grasp the whole concept of what Jesus Christ was saying. And the Bible said that was after Jesus Christ's resurrection. In verse 22, they say, when therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remember that he has said this, and they believe the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. So it doesn't matter what is your knowledge of the resurrection for you today. I want to challenge you today to open your eyes to see Jesus Christ in a more deep dimension. There is more for you to understand. If you are not a believer, you are not born again, of course you never will be able to understand this. But the Bible is talking here about disciples. Some of them already believe in Jesus Christ. However, they were not able to grasp the whole meaning of the history of Jesus Christ, the purpose of Jesus Christ. So you and I, both of us, are called to focus in the risen Christ and learning more about his resurrection. Especially in a time where Easter, everybody's saying, you know, the Lord is risen, he's risen indeed. Everybody's saying that. We're repeating all the time. We're seeing movies about the resurrection. There is the danger that on the middle of this, we are still not grasping the deep concept of the resurrection. You know, these disciples, my friends, were not dummies. They were not people that were not smart. They were very smart people. Usually we have to see them as they were like a little group of children. They didn't have a clue about what's going on. They were smart people. However, they were not able to understand what the resurrection implies. So today the word of God is telling us, come, pay attention, understand one more time in a more deep sense the meaning of the resurrection. So I will explain to you, so today, this morning, some important things that from this passage we will understand about what means when we say that God raised Christ from the dead. And especially this verse 19 that said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. What God is trying to tell us or is telling us through this passage of the Bible. The first thing that we learn is that the resurrection, and we start with a negative element, the resurrection is an indictment for you and I, for you and me. There's an indictment that we are guilty of destroying the temple of God. So we are destroyers of the temple of God. We will see how that takes place here. First of all, we see here that the disciples and Jesus Christ were entered into the temple. And Jesus Christ was cleansing the temple. Probably Jesus Christ did in his lifetime, at least it's recorded twice, but probably do more than twice. So for that reason, the authorities of that place were saying, we need to kill this man because he's a troublemaker. He is a very well-respected man, a rabbi, preaching the word of God. However, when he came to the temple, he caused disorder in the temple and was one of the charges against Jesus Christ, but he was telling that the temple will be destroyed. That was a blasphemy for the people. So in order to understand this dimension, it's very important to understand for us the meaning of the temple and what means to destroy the temple, how bad was for us to for the people of that time to do something against the temple. Okay, have you ever been or entered to a big a nice temple or a big or nice cathedral? You know, one time I was in a place where there was a lot of crystal, clear. I mean, things can be breaking around. So we enter very, very careful. Everything was precious. We should not be careful, not knock down anything. When I was a kid, we entered to a cathedral and we were very silent. Everything cost expensive to repair. So we were very careful about it. We were instructed not to make noise. There was something important around. All this idea was sacred and be careful around an immense and great building was here in the temple, but in a most, a biggest dimension, in a bigger dimension. Why? Because the temple was considered by the Israelites like the center of the earth. And most important, they considered the center of the universe. It was there in the temple where all the universe came, all the glory of the universe came to take place. And the glory of the Lord was present there. For people, when there was no temple, the glory of the Lord was not present. So the destruction of the temple will be considered something terrible for the people. Let's imagine initially the idea of the temple came from the Ark of the Covenant. You remember we were speaking about Joshua, about the Ark of the Covenant, where the presence of the Lord was among them. They carried the Ark of the Covenant to enter to the city. The presence of the Lord was there. Later on, they built the tabernacle. The presence of the Lord was there. And later on, Solomon built the temple. And for them, the presence of the Lord was there. There was no other way how they find blessing but in the temple. The world was going to be in the temple. When they were traveling, they put their head toward the temple because they thought that the blessing came from the temple. It's like the Muslim today, you know, when they pray facing the Mecca, because they consider the Mecca a sacred place, an important place where the presence of the Lord is there. So everybody was considered the temple as an important thing. So when the temple was destroyed in the time of the exile by the Babylonians, that was a horrible thing. People cry constantly. So when was revealed, we are reading Ezra, right? Today, this morning, they were crying because for them it was something precious. It was not something that was amazing. It was not a historic monument of the culture, of the history. It was something more than that. It was the house of the Lord. That was the presence of the Lord there. It is destroyed. There is no presence of the Lord. There is no blessing. So they were all fearful about it. When they was revealed by Zerubbabel, that was very humble revealed. And they were crying. The Bible said that the mix of hymns that they were singing was mixed with the crying voices, to the point that they didn't know they were crying or singing, or who was crying or who was singing. That was a very emotional place for the people. Friends, it was even worse than the destruction of the Twin Towers, or more emotional, the rebuilding of the World Trade Center will be for us. That was very important because it was the presence of the Lord. When Herod came, he didn't like much that the temple was no very fancy. So he wants to reveal and refurbish the whole temple. And I said that Herod was a bad member, was a great builder, right? So he bring people from all over the place and made the temple so glorious and so nice, so beautiful. So the Bible said the disciples would admire and say, wow, what big stones. You know, what's beauty in this temple? However, Jesus Christ, when he came to the temple, he was sad. He didn't rejoice because he, instead to see the rebuilding, or instead to seeing the building of the temple, he saw the destroying of the temple. So he came and said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rise it up. You know, the expression here in the English, destroy, in the original Greek, can be also translated, I say the more proper way to translate this is destroying. You are destroying this temple. You know, in the Greek verbs, the subjects are built into the verb. So here the idea is that Jesus Christ is saying, this, you are destroying this temple, but I will rise up again in 3 days. So it's an indictment for the people of that time. Why they were destroying the temple? They made at the temple a house, it's called here a house of trade. What happened there? You know, the temple was not only a place for the presence of the Lord, but was a place where they were offering sacrifices to the Lord. Was a place where they came to receive forgiveness for the Lord. If they made sins, they bring an animal without blemish. So they offered to the Lord and they were burned there in the altar. So that was an important place where we find forgiveness. However, the problem is that before you present your offering to the Lord, according with the law, need to be inspected by the priest. So if the priest said that there is a blemish in your offering, they will say, no, your offering cannot be presented. So what do you do? Your brother came from long distance, you know, carrying your sheep. And then you say, this is my offering, for God forgive my sins. And the priest said to you, you know what? There is a little spot here in the, you know, in the feet. Sorry, you cannot present your goat or your lamb to the Lord. So what they build is a structure to selling animals there. So people, instead to bring animals, they came and buy a special selected animals without blemish. And that itself built a structure of trade. So there was a lot of interest in the building of this place. So it's an indictment on how Christianity has become today a place, or the buildings have become a place when there is trade and there is commerce. You remember, we said last Sunday, my house will be a place to prayer for all nations, but you have made a place, a den of thieves. So that's very important for us to understand that the purpose of Christianity, the purpose of the church, is to preach the gospel that is a free gospel offered to people from all backgrounds. However, these people, the people, the authorities of that place, they didn't have that vision for the temple of the Lord. They have built around a place of trade where money has become the most important thing instead of the word of God. So if people have the money and they can afford to buy animals without blemish, they were able to receive forgiveness of the Lord. You know, when Martin Luther came to Rome, they came to Rome expecting finding a blessing. That was a special place. I don't know how many of you have been in cathedrals or in places of worship, beautiful places of worship, especially those that are built under the Gothic influence, where are built with the purpose that you feel so small when you enter to that place. And you believe the glory of the Lord is big. So when Martin Luther went to Rome, he said, oh, I will go to a place and I will find a place of holiness. But when we went there, what we found? A place where they were selling the salvation. They were trading the salvation. So the Lord of God is telling us here that the similar place was found by Jesus Christ. So that's very important for us to understand that we cannot sell to two masters, my friends. When a church has money at the center of his ministry, of his decisions, he's not serving to the Lord of God. The church needs to be focused in the preaching of the word of God, in the ministry of the sacraments. It's true that the Bible has established that we need to give in worship voluntarily tithes and offerings to the Lord. However, we never will build the church around money. Money should not dictate what we are doing in this place. Money should follow the vision, should follow the preaching of the word of God, and that is what God is calling us to do. Now, you feel that like you can accuse the Pharisees or the authorities. If I feel that way, we need to look ourselves as well on here. Because in one sense, the reason when Jesus is talking here about you are destroying this temple, he's saying no about necessarily about the temple. It's true, they were destroying the temple. The temple will be destroyed one day because the sin of the people, again by the Romans. However, he's saying about his body. Means you with your sins are causing the death and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. So that is no indictment necessarily against a system, but it's indictment against you and I. So when we're talking about resurrection, the first thing that we're seeing here in this passage of the Bible is that he has overcome and paid the guilt that we all had, because with our sins, we have desecrated the temple of the Lord. It's not true. Have you not desecrated your body, which is temple of the Holy Spirit, with your sin? Have we not made different sins in our life that affected the presence of the Lord in our own life? Are we not neglecting constantly the word of God in our own lives? So we are guilty. We all are guilty. The Bible said that they need to offer an animal without blemish. The only Lamb of God is Jesus Christ that can be offered in this temple. But we are guilty of destroying the temple of the Lord, the body of the Lord, with all sins. If you don't believe that you are guilty for the death of Jesus Christ, it means that you don't understand salvation of the Lord. So resurrection is a glorious day. We need to be happy. But we never forget that resurrection happened because Jesus Christ died first. And that he died because for paying our sins. That we have destroyed his body in the cross of Calvary. That we have caused that the Son of God died in the cross of Calvary. So that's go hand to hand. You know, my friends, when we came to Easter, usually Easter, we believe and start in Lent. Other people believe and start in Palm Sunday and then end in Easter Sunday. No, this don't end here. Easter Sunday is the beginning of things. If you really grasp resurrection, you must see that you need to start building something in your life. So that came to the second element here. When the Bible says, Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Bible is telling us that there is a promise or a new temple to be revealed where God dwells forever. God is telling us that the only way for many, many years people have sacrificed lambs constantly, expecting forgiveness, building temples, believing that God will bless them more because they were built temples. There were people in the history of the church, they give a lot of money for the building or rebuilding of the temples because they ask that they will do several masses, several prayers when they are dead, so their sins will be forgiven. Do you think that will work? Can I give money to the rebuilding of a temple and then after that, you know, I can live my life whatever I want? And then, you know, I will make sure that after my death, in that church, in that cathedral, they will be praying for me. Pray, Father, forgive William Castro for his sins because he gave us a lot of money. No, that don't work. The only way to work for forgiveness is that you put your eyes, like the catechism says today, in the body of Jesus Christ that was rise again from the death. That you start to having a different perspective of life through the resurrection. That you see, you pray, seeing not to the temple that is on earth, but you see looking to the work of Jesus Christ. You can see here in this passage of the Bible that the disciples have a different perspective when after the resurrection. There is before resurrection and after resurrection. Before resurrection, they didn't understand many things. However, after resurrection, they were able to grasp many. Many things came to take place. Many things came to be understood better after the resurrection. Are you before the resurrection or after the resurrection? Where is your mind now? Where is your soul now? Are you a person that is living like being before resurrection? Or are you a person that is living after the resurrection of Jesus Christ? The Bible says very clear about this. What a pity for Christians or for any people if Christ has not risen from the dead. Who will be people to, the worst people to feel pity about? Why? Because it's through the resurrection that the victory of God is confirmed. The temple was rebuilt. You know, when the temple was destroyed, everybody was expecting to be rebuilt. There was no peace on the heart of the people until the temple is rebuilt. The Bible is saying here in this prophecy that most important than any temple built of hands is the body of Jesus Christ. And the most important thing has been done on the history. The most important miracle happened, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you are expecting other sign, other important thing for you to believe in the presence of the Lord, you and I, we didn't understood very well the meaning of resurrection. They were asking for a sign. They came to say, what sign? Okay, you have cleansing the place. Now what sign you have that you are the Messiah, that you are the one to cleanse the temple? He say, as you are destroying this temple, I will rise up in 3 days. And what they were answering, you are crazy. This temple was taking 46 years to build up. Effort from craftsmen and artists from different places of the air brought together to refurbish the temple. All the money prepared for building this temple. And you are saying that you will rebuild in 3 days? He was not talking about a temple built with human hands. He was talking about he as a Jesus Christ, which is a man and God. The only way between humanity and the Lord. There is no other way how to get close to the Lord. How to bring the presence of the Lord. How to bring forgiveness. There is no temple. You know, a lot of people are thinking today that they go to Jerusalem, they will find special blessing there. If they go to Rome, if they go to different places, they will find more blessing. Oh, God is more present. The presence of God is here in a more sense than other places. No. The presence of the Lord is in the resurrected body of Christ. When you pray, where are your face facing? Are you facing to Rome? Are you facing to La Mecca? No, you are no Muslim. Are you facing to France? Where are you facing with your head? You need to face to the risen body of Jesus Christ, who is seated at the right hand of God. That is our hope. That is the most important miracle of that ever happened in history. That temple is the one that we have placed the hope of the presence of the Lord. You know, the word Emmanuel means that God dwells in us. So it means that the God Almighty is dwelling on us. It means that in the resurrection, we believe that it's a rebuilding of the presence of the Lord. But it's not on earth. It's in the right hand of God where his body is. This is a mystery. How in the heaven can be a body, a human body? But there is a human body glorified, which is Jesus Christ. So that resurrection means that I am focused, need to have a Christianity focus in Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. But also, to finish with this, it's very important to keep in mind that resurrection means also victory. That the history is a triumph, triumphal history of the Lord. Means we are not defeated. That we need to be a Christianity, a body of believers that are victorious. So how do you feel today? Are you feeling defeated or in victory? Are you feeling disappointed or are you feeling strong in the Lord? How is your feelings at this moment? Our feelings can be different for different reasons. However, the most important thing is that we focus is that the most important thing happened in the life of Jesus Christ. His body has risen again. For that reason, our bodies one day will rise again. How your body is feeling, by the way, today? You know, mine is not feeling real well. You know, the Bible said, I'm getting old, and we're not getting younger, right? But the Bible is saying, when this house will be in failing, we have a new house waiting for us. The Lord will rise our body again. That's very important to understand, that there is a continuity in this victory. If Christ has not risen again, means that we will be defeated. So it doesn't matter what your feelings are. It doesn't matter what's going on. We must understand that the most important thing has happened. Jesus Christ has risen, the first fruits of our resurrection. For instance, it's important that we feel, not only in our soul, my friends, but also in our bodies, the victory of the resurrection. So you don't feel victorious. You don't feel that you are belong to a triumphal Lord. You don't believe that there is something, there is victory in your life. Pray to the Lord. Let's pray to the Lord that really we feel his resurrection. Because his resurrection need to be materialized in our bodies. You know, when John Calvin was preaching, you know, the great reformer was preaching the word of God and talking about the Lord's Supper, he said that we not only have the spiritual presence of the Lord on the table, but we ask that God in his power rise up our humanities, our body and spirit, and take us and the strength of the body of Christ, which is not in the table, but is in heaven, that strength came to us. That glorious strength of a man that is rise again, that has defeated and is working to defeat all his enemies. So resurrection is very important. In first place, remember an indictment that we are guilty for our sins. But resurrection also is a promise of the rebuilding of the presence of the Lord in our lives. And resurrection is an announcement of victory in our life. Let's pray that this truth will be with us now and ever. Let's pray to the Lord. Pray to the Lord. Father, thank you so much for your presence today among us. We are thankful for the great ministry of the gospel. And because as you open the eyes of these apostles to the point that they became the holy writers of the Word of God, the inspired Word of God. You open our eyes so we be able to understand this testimony. Help us to believe by faith alone in this truth. Father, we recognize that our sins are big, are huge before your presence, that we are guilty. In the court, we will be found guilty, but we believe in the promise of resurrection. We believe that you rise again, that you are triumph above death, that you rebuild this temple in 3 days. The dead couldn't hold you, Father. You rise again, your Son Jesus Christ, and you are teaching us to be victorious in him. Help us to defeat the sin in our life, the disappointment in our life, the failing of our body, knowing that you have a temple that you will rebuild in the last day, because you rise again, our own body, without any blemish. Thank you, Father, for this word that is preached today. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.